The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished. And they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Good. So once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. I thought I'd tell you a little bit today about our first reading. Not just today's first reading, but I'm going to draw a little bit even in from yesterday's first reading as well. Because it tells us about the final days of the great King Solomon, son of King David. I know there's a lesson in the final days of King Solomon that I think we need to learn as well. Okay, because the reign of King Solomon was the high point in all the history of Israel as far as their political, military, and economic power was concerned. In fact, Israel has had a period of several years in which they did not have to fight a war simply because no one dared to fight the powerful military and the mighty economy under King Solomon for their own safety's sake. Utterly unprecedented. They were the most powerful country in the known world. And with the prophet Nathan promising King David that his line would last forever, Solomon and Israel seemed to be invincible. But everything changed when Solomon began to worship foreign gods. That's what yesterday's first reading was all about. It says that Solomon married foreign women and they convinced him to turn away from the God of Israel and instead worship Chemosh, the idol of Moab, or Moloch, the god of the Ammonites. And as soon as he did that, the golden age came to an end. And upon the death of King Solomon, Israel descended into civil war. And I think that there's an important lesson to be learned, because what happened to Solomon and to Israel happens to us as well when we turn away from the worship of God and worship false gods or idols in God's place. This is the meaning of what you heard today, where the prophet Abijah takes his cloak and tears it up into 12 pieces. 12 tribes of Israel. Kingdom of Israel is going to get divided. Only the kingdom of Judah is going to survive because God's going to maintain his promise to King David. But that same division, that same downfall happens to us when we turn towards false gods. Are there any false gods in the world? Yes, there are. They don't go by the name of Moloch or Baal or Chemosh. Instead, they go by the name of power, money, honor, pleasure, race, stock market, political party. Anything that you value more highly than the worship of God is an idol. And it divides us against one another and against God. And I think you see this all across our society. All you have to do is open your eyes. You know, back in 1993, Pope John Paul II wrote an encyclical, Veritatis Splendor, the splendor of the truth. And I remember there was a line in that encyclical that said that whenever God is not honored in a society, democracy descends into totalitarianism. And I thought to myself, that'll never happen in America. We've got too much of a great tradition for democracy, you know, kind of like King Solomon. He probably thought nothing would ever happen to his invincible kingdom. But look at what ends up happening. When two sides of an argument can't both agree that there's something above them both. I'm talking about a sense of right or wrong, a sense of justice and goodness, not something we invent for ourselves or vote upon, but rather something we bump up against and discover, the justice of God. What happens when people don't recognize that? What happens is the one who rules is whoever has the most power, whoever shouts the loudest. We all lose our personal freedom as well, too. You ever notice when we have a society filled with people that do not understand that we are accountable to more than just one another, but at the end of all of this, we'll be accountable to God. They say when you purge the concept of right and wrong from a society, you can't hire enough police. And we get divided against one another. We also get divided against ourselves. This is how marriages fall apart. Can't you see it my way? One says to another. It's how parishes fall apart. It's how dioceses fall apart. It's how churches split. And our Lord came to reconcile us and to unite us. In fact, whenever he does a healing, you know, not only is he showing his power over the ailments that afflict us as a consequence of original sin, but he's showing that his deeper mission is to heal the real divisions among us, and that is the things that keep us divided from one another and from God. You could say that union with God and union with one another is what redemption is. And that is something that we need to understand as well, and we won't understand it until we recognize that we too have to turn our hearts back from God, back to God from all the worship of all these false idols, the valuing of things above our Lord's will. So in a couple of days, we're going to begin Lent, just a few days from now. You know, Lent is not just time to give up stuff. It's a time to turn your heart back to God. And that means more than just repenting of sin, certainly means that. But if you would, look to those places where you have obstinate self-will. That's what our Lord really wants to heal in you, that his will would reign supreme. You know, heaven is a place of perfect love. Perfect love, heaven is. Perfect love is only possible where self-love ceases to exist. That's why, before anybody gets into heaven, the ego has to go down to zero. Zero. And we want to help make that possible. Right here and right now. You know, our Lord in the Gospels, he told people, don't tell anyone who I am. Don't you ever heard this? And he keeps telling me, heal somebody. He says, don't go telling everybody who I am. Because he knows that they won't understand who he is until after they see him suffer and die. That's why the cross is in the center of all of our churches. And similarly, we can't understand our Lord either until the cross is at the center of our hearts. Something to think about now in these final days before we begin Lent, that we might be able to pray from our hearts the words we prayed in our gospel acclamation. Open our hearts, O Lord, to listen to the words of your Son. Amen.